You know, being a father, you know, and being someone who owns his own business, you get tired and you're just like, man, why am I so tired? Well, maybe it's because, you know, you didn't get a lot of sleep. Maybe you're holding a little extra weight. Maybe your mood is bringing you down. Your mood, and we know we've talked about how mental wellness can affect the rest of your life, or all aspects of your life. And you think, man, I need that quick fix. I need something. I need a boost. And then you say, well, my testosterone's low. Maybe I need more testosterone. And then, boom, you go with either prescribed. Maybe you go the safe route. You just go to a doctor and get blood work done, and maybe they still prescribe you testosterone, even though it's somewhat FDA regulated now or regulated. Or maybe you go to someone who is not even a doctor who somehow has found a loophole to give you testosterone. Or
you're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. I'm rolling solo today, folks, but I got a great episode with you for you guys today. We're going to be discussing something that's very, I would say, male-centric, but I guess kind of, actually, it affects both men and women, and I'm talking about low testosterone and the actually low testosterone treatment, what they would refer to as testosterone replacement therapy, TRT. So we're going to get into that, but before we do that, I'd like to remind you guys that we have a Facebook page. That's right, the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. You guys can go on there, look at some of our exclusive Facebook Lives that we've done. We also have a review section there that you guys can leave your rating review for the podcast there. We deeply appreciate it. And you guys can, once you leave their thoughts and leave a few words there, we will read them on an upcoming episode of the podcast. And also, once again, as I mentioned, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, we're all on all those platforms. If you guys can go there and give us a rating, we really appreciate it. So, as I mentioned, I'm rolling solo. Shannon is actually in the car right now as we speak, driving down south to Naples to visit her godmother with my in-laws and Ella. We had this plan to meet with her. My wife's godmother is, she works here a few months out of the year, and we had this plan to meet with her several months ago, but, we had something else come up that was family related. So it took priority over that. So we moved the weekend or the visit to this weekend, and they are actually heading down there right now while I'm holding down the fort. And, I got another, morning tomorrow of training some clients, and I'm going to head down and meet them. So you guys reap the benefits of a solo podcast. Hopefully it won't be too boring and you won't miss in too much. So, training recap. I had a little bit of a kind of like, I guess, not acclimation period, but I had to get back into the groove. You know, we traveled all last week and came back late last week, and then get back into the swing of things this week, trying to get back into the routine of regular exercise, but also Shannon and I, had to deal with, Ella having to go to the doctor one day. So, we had to, that threw a little monkey wrench in things, but she's fine. I think it's all teething related, which if any parents are out there who dealt with that, you know, the pain of getting woken up in the middle of the night screaming and your child screaming in pain and you're not knowing what to do. So, but she's all, I wouldn't say all better, but she is definitely doing better now. So, when I did get to the gym, I was able to get some, a couple strength training workouts in, worked with the mace, worked with the 360, which is actually going to be coming up, the steel mace 360, or swings, as I like to call them also. That'll be coming up later in the podcast. We'll be talking about those a little more. Also got some, time on the rower. And the rower, if you guys are familiar with the rowing machine, or, some people call it the erg machine also. Great piece of cardio equipment, probably the one of the most beneficial, honestly. And I found that, you know, from training people at Tampa Strength, it's the only machine we have at Tampa Strength, and almost everyone can use it. You know, there are very few people where that aren't able to use it. It's pretty low impact, but it can also be a great cardio workout. But also, you know, you feel you are definitely building strength because you're moving a lot of joints and requires a lot of kind of you know, leg strength, upper back strength, really total body. It is a total body cardio machine. So great piece of equipment, you know, and pretty low impact on the joints, I should say. Not low impact as in kind of low intensity, but definitely low impact on your joints. So highly recommend rowing machines or erg machines if you're looking for a piece of at-home equipment. They are a little pricey, but not nowhere in the realm of the Peloton cycle, as you guys have heard on this podcast before. So got to get on that, and that was really fun and enjoyable. But getting back into the swing, I guess, and swing, I'm using that literally and, I guess, kind of metaphorically, I specifically holding pads for people. You know, I obviously do a lot of boxing with my clients, and having to hold the focus mitts, it can be kind of it can be tiring on my shoulders, you know. So I end up with a lot of sore shoulders and not doing it for a week. I guess my body got, like, I got out of shape essentially for a week. My shoulders got out of shape from taking that impact or holding the mitts a little bit more efficiently to prevent really shoulder pain. So needless to say, it's Friday and my shoulders were really aching. So I took it easy today and actually got a massage from my massage therapist, Monique, who is awesome. I can't recommend her enough. I know this is a worldwide podcast, but if you live in Tampa Bay, Monique from Restore Me Massage Therapy is phenomenal. So check her out. So I got that today. That was pretty much my training recap for the week. I am going to go soak up some vitamin D when I go down to Naples and get out on the beach or the pool. I can tell you I'm definitely going to do that. So it was a great week back to kind of get into the training routine of training clients and training myself. So the topic and kind of the article, as I previewed in the beginning of the podcast, was low T and TRT. I can't say it. I don't know why. I've tried it several times. Testosterone replacement therapy. And it's kind of a buzz term and word. I mean, you can't really turn on the TV or you know, there's billboards for these type of therapies all over the place, especially down here in Tampa, which has, I know in recent past, I don't know how recent, but I have heard it's been voted the most vain city in the United States. So we do have a lot of plastic surgery and a lot of testosterone replacement clinics. And so a lot of people are trying to stay young. So I found an article, or at least they think they're trying to stay young doing this. So I found an article on fatherly.com, kind of a really good website for myself. It's obviously geared towards men and dads, but there's a lot of stuff on there that helps. It really pertains to both, you know, men and women. So then this topic does too, because, you know, a lot of people associate low testosterone with less energy, lower libidos, overall kind of, like, I guess, depressed demeanor. They also kind of say that people start losing testosterone at 35. They see it as a problem, but it's actually a natural kind of essentially occurrence. You know, your testosterone starts going down naturally once you hit the age of 35. But, you know, obviously a lot of marketing campaigns came out in the early 2000s that this doesn't have to be the case. You know, you can prevent this. So, you know, before this, the testosterone therapy was something that specifically treated things, or I guess conditions like hypogonadism, which is kind of obviously kind of the hormone centers of your body not to producing the right amount of hormones. And this was kind of things that it only happened in a very small percentage of men. This article actually cites as only about 2% of men suffer these type of the hypogonadism, basically the kind of insufficient production of hormones from the hormone producing centers in their body. But this obviously didn't really slow down the pharmaceutical companies from advertising and marketing the idea that low T is affecting so many men, is affecting all men, you know, even though, I mean, I guess it's technically not a lie, because if you're over 35, your testosterone does go down. But it's interesting, because it's really, there's a lot of other factors that affect testosterone levels besides aging. You know, it's things like obesity, depression, drug use. So not even illegal drugs, but even prescription drugs like opiates. Things like, obviously I said depression already, but other mental health issues, they can really, you know, drive down your testosterone. Lack of sleep. I mean, everybody, we've talked about what sleep, how important sleep is, and all those things can, in essence, lower all those or reduce our kind of productive symptoms of low T that we already talked about, you know, depressed moods, lower libidos, and decreased energy. I mean, that sounds like when you result in things, when you're basically subjecting your body to things like poor diet, prescription drug abuse, lack of sleep, things of that nature, yeah, your testosterone is going to go down. And then with the companies, then the marketing, the drug pharmaceutical companies coming back and saying, hey, we can fix this. It's like one of those things we've talked about on the podcast before. It's like you're addressing the symptoms and not the cause. You know, we've always talked, and I think we talked about recently about functional medicine and how I like the idea of functional medicine because it focuses on basically striking at the root of the problem, not treating the essentially the branches. Like if say a tree is, you know, some sort of condition, like you don't want to strike at the branches to try to kind of cut down the tree. You want to go at the base, go at the roots. I know that's probably a bad analogy, but treating the symptoms and not the cause is something that it seems like these testosterone pharmaceutical companies were, or testosterone replacement pharmaceutical companies were promoting. And it was really becoming, you know, we've actually recently discovered it's really a big issue, and it's a dangerous issue because there's a couple of, this article actually cites a couple different instances where individuals died because of testosterone. I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe I need testosterone. So a lot of not a lot, but they cite several instances where they believe, and you know, family members have brought these companies to basically sue them, or said they were culpable for the deaths of people in their family because there is some research that says that injecting testosterone can actually thicken blood and increase rate of heart attack and stroke. But these kind of obviously side effects or potential, obviously, essentially deadly side effects hasn't really slowed down, or until recent history, really didn't slow down the explosion of the testosterone replacement market or the industry, because between 2000 and 2011, it said that prescriptions increased 12-fold. And speaking about prescriptions, it was a lot of these prescriptions, according to this article, were written without required blood tests. So, you know, they were giving prescriptions without testing if you actually had low testosterone. It was crazy to think about, you know, just doing that. They weren't doing any blood tests, any tests. They were just saying, hey, I don't know if maybe they were doing urine analysis or what they were doing, or maybe they were just talking about your mood and just maybe a questionnaire. But they talk about in this article a lot were written without prescription, without a blood test, essentially, which is seems crazy because, as I already cited in the article, I mean, this will thicken your blood, or testosterone has the ability to thicken your blood and possibly cause strokes. So, according to this article, so that's something that's really kind of scary to think that people or doctors or any, you know, general practitioners were essentially prescribing testosterone, which, you know, kind of falls under that I guess category of, making you think about, you know, are pharmaceutical companies, you know, paying doctors to promote their product. And obviously this is just one article, so I don't know how kind of accurate that is. But it's scary to think about if you just look at the increase in the industry. It's kind of, it's very, it's evident that something was happening, that people were getting prescriptions a lot more so than they should. Sales actually increased from 2002 to 2012 from $324 million to $2 billion. So that's a dramatic increase in 10 years. So you can wonder why everybody saw it was kind of the opportunity to increase or opportunity to get some money was to just sell products or prescribe products that essentially boosted testosterone. So in 2015, FDA finally cracked down on this. They required that clinics and doctors prescribing testosterone, they would no longer do so for men that were experienced low testosterone due to aging. So they could no longer use that as a reason to prescribe testosterone. So now they had to essentially, you know, if this person had one of those conditions we outlined earlier that affected some of their hormone, how their hormone centers or endocrine system was not producing the right amount of hormones, they would be able to get a prescription, but not if they were just, you know, as a natural process of aging. So it's a good thing that they cracked down on that, but it's also kind of opened the door for non-FDA regulated companies to kind of jump back in to take the place. So, and you've seen it, honestly. I'm sure you guys have heard about it. There's certain supplement companies that promote the basically kind of like male wellness, or, you know, things like, let's say, low libido pills, or it's some of bodily function, erectile dysfunction pills. So they promote that, the hair replacement pills, and then obviously things that could help boost testosterone. So now supplement companies are getting to this, and all you got to do is fill out kind of a questionnaire online, and they will send you these supplements right to your door. You don't even have to go to a doctor anymore. And a lot of times they are using generic versions of kind of prescriptions that you might be familiar with, like Viagra and Zoloft or Xanax, and so on and so forth, and combining them and then shipping them right to your door. And it's once again kind of a dangerous, really dangerous, I wouldn't say a dangerous process, because a lot of people aren't getting the proper blood work to see if they can actually take these supplements safely without increasing their risk of things like heart attacks and strokes. So it's scary to think that you're able to do that, and a lot of people are, but it's kind of because people, you know, I understand, especially men, obviously we're really talking about men right now, but I know this happens probably in the women's world too, with supplements or any type of other kind of related products. You know, being a father, you know, and being someone who owns his own business, you get tired and you're just like, man, why am I so tired? Well, maybe it's because, you know, you didn't get a lot of sleep. Maybe you're holding a little extra weight. Maybe your mood is bringing you down, your mood, and we know we've talked about how mental wellness can affect the rest of your life, all aspects of your life, and you think, man, I need that quick fix, I need something, I need a boost, and then you say, well, my testosterone's low, maybe I need more testosterone, and then, boom, you go with either prescribed, maybe you go the safe route, you go to a doctor and get blood work done, and maybe they still prescribe you testosterone, even though it's somewhat FDA regulated now, or regulated, or maybe you go to someone who is not even a doctor, who somehow has found a loophole to give you testosterone, or you go with one of those kind of subscription companies that send similar products right to your house. So you're just looking, people are looking for the quick fix, and it's challenging, because obviously marketing is very nefarious by playing people's fears or weaknesses and saying, hey, we got the solution. But what you should really do is focus on the root cause, going back to that, and the things that we already listed: obesity, mental health, are you abusing prescription drugs? Are you getting terrible sleep? Those are the root causes that can cause lower energy, lower libido, sour moods, to steal a phrase from this article. Those are the root cause, and testosterone replacement is it's not really going to be the solution. You know, it might boost your testosterone, but if you keep doing those issues, you're never going to feel better, essentially, in my opinion. You know, obviously, I'm sure there are success stories for people who take testosterone, but if you're not addressing the root causes, it doesn't matter how much you take. And in fact, that it might even be worse, because if you take it and you don't feel better and you don't see those problems why you started taking it in the first place getting better or improving, you might up your dose. You might go crazy. You might double up without, you know, against whoever prescribed you its wishes, thinking more is better, and then something terrible could happen possibly. The kind of long story short is that you have to do your due diligence and really look at all aspects of your life to think about, you know, to analyze why these issues are happening. You can't just pick one little thing and say, if I fix this, everything changes. It'll never happen that way, folks. It'll never happen that way. You have to look at the big picture. Being a personal trainer, a lot of people say, oh, I want to come in, I want to lose weight. And I say, that's great. That's an awesome fitness goal. And you can certainly do that. Exercise will definitely help with that. But you need to address your sleep, you need to address your diet, you need to address your mental health. All those things have a huge impact on if you can lose weight or not. And if those three things, if you don't address those three things and you just think, I can outwork a bad diet, I can outwork a terrible sleep health or sleep patterns, or I can outwork a bad mental attitude, it's not going to happen. I can guarantee you it's not going to happen. Okay, so I thought it was a great article, and I'm really I'm glad, kind of, because I've obviously, being my age now, people talk about testosterone a lot. I hear it a lot, and it's I think it's a topic that needed to be addressed. I'm glad we got to address it on the podcast. Dad's taking over the podcast today, so I figured it's a good fatherly topic to kind of address. So in light, we're only a few weeks away from Father's Day. So what I also wanted to do is kind of share a little health and fitness poll that I put out on the ET Tampa Instagram recently this week. We did this a few weeks ago, about a few months ago, and I wanted to read you some of the results of the poll that I put out. Also, any of the kind of poll questions I put out, if you guys want to share your response, please do. You can do so by contacting us in our social media, Instagram, ET Tampa, or as I mentioned earlier, the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. All right, question one, bringing it up on my stories right now. Boom, question one was, and I think you guys are going to know where I stand on this one, and I'm going to mention that we had some pretty good participation this time around. It was kind of in the low. We had about 6 or 8 people respond last time per question. This time around, we had anywhere from a dozen to about 15, 16 people. So it was good. You know, it went up. So as I mentioned, follow ET Tampa, and so you can participate in the next one. First question of this health and fitness poll was coffee, not loaded with artificial creamers and sugars. The options were, I'll take two or pass. And we had 80% people said, I'll take two, and only 20% of people said they'd pass on coffee. And obviously, I kind of alluded to it being essentially black coffee. Obviously, there are some sweeteners, non-caloric sweeteners, not artificial, you know, stevia, monk fruit. We've talked about stuff on the podcast before, erythritol, so sugar alcohols. And then there's some, I've talked about the non-dairy creamer. I love using coconut milk, not the ones you buy in the cartons at the store, the canned stuff, the stuff that's just coconut milk and water, and it's just basically fat, and that's it, no sugar added. So I'm a big fan of that. Also heavy cream, I like that one too. I heard another, it was interesting, kind of there's a recent article came out about how, and this one was crazy to me, so I haven't followed up of it, I just heard about it on podcast, that it doesn't matter how much coffee you drink, it's not bad for you. I mean, they were talking about people drinking 25 cups of coffee today is nowhere, or it's like in no way worse for you than drinking one cup of coffee a day. So it was like, You know, it sounded like they followed a large group of people, but I don't know if it was a questionnaire, you know, to talk about the people's health, one of those epidemiological studies, opposed to, you know, I don't think it basically proved causation, maybe more like correlation, which we've talked about that in the podcast before. It doesn't really mean much. So, but, you know, obviously people who participate in this fitness goal, they're really big on coffee and without kind of all the sugar and artificial stuff in there. So that's good. I'm right on board with that. And that's good to see too. And not that, you know, you have to drink coffee, but you know, if you're going to be friends with me, you do. So anyways, the next question, this was very, and I told you this was come back up, is Steel Mace 360. You guys, we've talked about this on the podcast before. Please visit ET Tampa. You check me out doing some 360s if you want to know what I'm talking about. So I asked, Steel Mace 360, I want to try it or hell no? Those were the options for the poll. 78% of people said I want to try, and 22% of people said hell no. So it's interesting because it looks very intimidating, I will say that. But honestly, once you get the mechanics down, it is almost, I don't want to say like, it feels so rhythmic, and it's such a total body movement, even though really only your shoulders are moving. Everything else is in almost like an isometric contraction. But it's very rhythmic and very smooth. You know, it feels like your body is supposed to move this way, you know, and it's something I think it's great for shoulder health. I think it's great for cardio, but it's also a great core exercise because you are required to have a stable core, essentially an isometric contracted core with, you know, proper hip position and head position and shoulder position in order to execute this. If not, something's going to go off kilter and it's interesting, you're swinging a steel mace, anywhere from, luckily they have some training maces now that are 3 pounds, but if you use a steel mace, it's approximately about 10 pounds, and if you get hit in the butt cheek with that thing, it doesn't feel good. So I'll tell you that right now. So it's great, and obviously you learn how to swing it before you can even try to do that, you know, before you have to worry about getting hit. So it's good to see there's a lot of people interested in trying it because it can be intimidating to look at, to watch, but once you get it down, it's kind of addicting to do. So, all right, the next question of the survey or the poll, the Fit Health Fitness poll, was ice baths. Love them or wouldn't if you paid me? All right, so obviously your options are, do you like ice baths, taking ice baths, or not? And we actually had a surprising amount. You know, I was probably a little surprised that there'd be this many. 40% of the people in the poll said they love them. 60% said, hell no, basically. You know, they said you wouldn't do it. They picked the option of wouldn't do it if you paid me. So that's actually not a surprise. I think people hate being cold, but I love ice baths. I really do. I think they're really really great for kind of reducing muscle soreness, muscle pain, obviously inflammation. They had kind of the same premise of cryo, but I think the immersion in the water actually has a more profound effect than cryo. Obviously, and I don't want to say I hate to be this guy, but it's cheaper. I mean, buying ice at the store is way cheaper than getting in a cryo machine. There's some great cryo places opening up now, you know, that have great kind of services and monthly plans, and I'll definitely, and we've been to two on the podcast, you guys have listened to them before, it's kind of a luxury item that you have to pay for. Ice, you can buy a couple bags of ice at the store, and if you have a bathtub, you're good to go, or you buy a trough at Home Depot, you're good to go. So I like ice baths, but there are some evidence. I haven't looked them up, but I heard Dr. Rhonda Patrick talking about it on the podcast about kind of the benefits of immersion, cold water immersion opposed to just cryotherapy. Both good, both have their own benefits, but I would say if I had to choose between one and the other, I would definitely take ice baths. So I feel like I get more benefit from that. And apparently about 40% of people in the fitness podcast or the fitness poll do too. All right, the final question for the fitness poll is something that I think we're going to dive into more soon. I keep talking about it, but it's super. It's a big aspect of your health. We've mentioned it several times on this episode already, is sleep. And the question was, how many average hours of sleep you get per night? And I was very surprised about that. I had the options were 4 to 6 and 6 to 8. So, excuse me, 6 to 8. Yeah, not 68, right? 23% had 4 to 6 hours a night. And then 77% had 6 to 8 hours a night. And that was really good to see because, you know, I did learn recently that from a great episode, and I think I talked about it a few weeks ago, but from the sleep doctor, Dr. Bruce, gosh, now I'm blanking on his name, but the sleep doctor, he did a great job explaining that not everybody is works better with 8 hours. There's some people that can function better with 6 or 7, maybe even 5. It's kind of based on there's certain people have certain abilities to function better with less sleep or maybe less sleep overnight and maybe a nap during the day, things like that. There's definitely aspects that not everybody is the same. And we've kind of it makes sense because we talk about diet and stuff too, like nutrition. Not everybody is the same in that regards. Everybody is essentially has a fitness and wellness plan that's unique to them. So, and it's no surprise that sleep is the same thing. So that was good. It was interesting to see. And I really appreciate everybody participating in the fitness and health poll. And we'll do those periodically. And maybe we'll probably make a little release on the Facebook page to let you guys know when the next one's coming so you can participate. All you got to do is like the Facebook page and follow us on the regular. And also, while you're at it, leave us a rating review there or in the Apple Podcast app. We deeply, deeply appreciate it. All right, guys. That's all I have for this week. I promise Shannon will be back the next week, and you don't have to hear me talk as much. But I really appreciate you joining me this week, and this has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and I'll check you next time. For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes Store. Thanks.